All right, let's have Elizabeth come up real quick. Save me.
Thank you, Mel. No, that was wonderful. Thank you. I know it. Thank you. We're trying to keep everybody informed, and you did a great job. I just wanted to take a moment. This week on Wednesday is our worship night, but it's also Veterans Day, and we want to acknowledge our veterans. We have a very high value for those who have served to protect us in this nation. So if you served in any capacity in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, thank you. I always want to say Merchant Marines because we have someone in. Anyway, would you please stand up? We would like to recognize you. Yeah. Yep. All right, wait, guys, wait, stay standing. Everyone else, just put your hands out. You just get an extra blessing today. I'm just going to pray over you for what you've given out. I just release an abundant blessing over your lives, over your family, over everything your hand finds to do. We say thank you, Lord, for those who have served in our country. We honor them. We recognize them. And we just say, Lord, that they will be blessed going forth in Jesus' name. Amen. And also all the other veterans that are across this great nation and around the world, we just send a blessing in the name of Jesus. How many of you know your words are powerful? We have the power to bless and honor. And it's a good season to do that. Honor and love will release peace in our nation. Amen? All right, you ready, babe?
Amen. All right. Always good to have a fan. Me and Billy V, we're going places. All right. I know that when the Lord is doing something, the most important thing we can do is just say yes. And you don't have to know exactly what He's doing. You just have to allow Him in. And this morning, you know, there was a lot of different ways I could have gone as I stood up here, you know, and you know, do you talk about the nation and make half of you mad and half of you happy? Really? Or do we talk about the political spirit, make all of you mad and but we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. Yay! And the power of, you know, that my citizenship is in heaven and we love this nation, and I'm going to show you how much we love this nation in a minute, what God's asking for in His people. How do we pray during this season? On, I don't know, Tuesday night, it probably was Wednesday morning, early, I was sitting in the backyard with the dog. If I'm up at that time with the dog, you know the Lord has me up, just so you know that. That's about me. And I said, Lord, how do you want me to pray? And I heard it as clear as Jesus were talking on the Sermon on the Mount and said, this is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. And then He just said, in your life, in America, in the world, as it is in heaven. I heard Him say it just like that. And I said, I got it. My hope is in you, Jesus. So then I've just been laying this, like, what do we talk about? But we've been in the middle of talking about harvest and what God is calling us to, what it looks like. Well, actually, that it's the very mandate of the kingdom of God for you not to just pray for harvest, but be harvesters. That's the very commission of God. He wants to commission with you. And He said, I need to commission with you. And here's the mission. Win the world. Disciple nations. Love on people. Be radical lovers. Be radical givers. Be those that when people don't know what to do, they come to you and say, I don't know why I'm here, but I need what you're carrying. That's the commission of God. And so You know, we've spent a few weeks, Elizabeth and I up here in chairs talking about it. But I want to teach some into it because I want to show you that this is not our will. Amen? If we're praying, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, then we got to know the will of God. And His will is for mission to be accomplished. His will is for sons and daughters to carry the mission, not servants, not robots, not even out of just pure obedience, even though that's what it's going to take. He doesn't want obedience to be the motivation. He wants sonship and daughterhood to be the motivation. You do it because Dad said, and all of a sudden you catch it and like, wait a minute, God is telling me what the plan is for earth. I'm trying to give you a big picture because I want you to recognize that what's going on in this week does not change the call. It does not change what God is doing on earth, and nothing ever has. So whether you're person one or lost or neutral, to you libertarians, all 1% of you, kidding. Listen, if we can't have fun, I don't know what we're doing. Because, I mean, the truth is, my friend from Ukraine called me and he goes, "Welcome to Ukraine." I said, "That is not a compliment." He said, "No, just the reality." And he was just laughing. He said, "Now I pray for you with great vigor." I love prayers in broken English. They're very to the point. And I'm trying to explain to you that I believe this, that God is literally has a greater message. We could get up here and try to interpret everything going on, and let me tell you, we would mess it up because we don't know what God is doing completely. But we do know this. His kingdom is still coming on earth. Why? Because I prayed it this morning. His will is still being done right now because all of us, you just prayed it. I heard you. So we have to embrace that. That takes faith. The other takes perception, and perception is oftentimes not faith. And God is looking for a people of faith who embrace the mission even when we're like, "I don't understand." And He says, "Exactly. Now embrace the mission. Because I would rather you not understand, because your understanding might get in the way of exactly what I'm doing." And I'm not saying we're mindless. I'm just saying we have the mind of Christ. And it's way bigger and way better. It actually says that it's from another realm, and it helps us see the eternal realm. Like today, when eternity was all in here, we were getting to embrace something that the world can't fathom. Hope in the next life. Hope in the big picture. Hope in that God has everything under His control and is looking for you to carry it out. So what I want to talk to you about today is back to engaging in the harvest. I'm going to read you the verse, and I'm going to show you how it's the answer for the season we're in. Help if I were in Matthew, not Mark, right? I was like, they moved the chapter. The devil moving the chapter. No, Matthew 9, 35. I'm going to start in 36, 36 to 38. We've quoted 38 a lot, but I want you to get the context today. I actually believe it's going to help us where we're going. It says, when He saw the crowds, or when He saw the people of God, or when He saw the people that He was called to minister to, or when He saw the field, is what it says in Matthew 13, that the people were the field. When He saw the field, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord for the harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." Now, I want you to see that Jesus was giving a preemptive strike on the Great Commission, that here's the mission. When you see the world in chaos, harassed and helpless, the answer is the message you're carrying. The answer is the gospel of the kingdom of God. The answer is for you to become a harvester. The answer is for you to be a laborer, not to drop into despair over the helplessness and the harassment. You have to actually carry what I need you to carry. Jesus was looking at the fields and he was saying, yeah, what a mess. And he was saying, we have the answer and you are the answer. Ask the Lord of the harvest to give laborers. And I want to tell you, the Lord of the harvest is again standing in this room this morning and standing in churches all over America this week and standing in churches all over the world and standing in high places, principalities and powers trying to rule. And he's saying, I'm looking for harvesters. I'm looking for laborers. I'm looking for co-laborers, co-heirs to go into the field and carry daddy's business. I want to put this in your vision. Jesus saw the mess of Jerusalem and he said the one answer is the gospel of the kingdom. You know, he's still saying that over Jerusalem. I'm looking for laborers. And I just want to point out to you that there's a place of lordship that's so required in harvest. I haven't been able to get past this thing that the Lord declared, I'm the Lord of the harvest. Now, Lord is to mean the master. He's the ruler. He's the one that is taking care of. It is his business. And he's saying, I'm the Lord of the harvest. And there's a place where we must embrace. First of all, there's lots of different ways we can relate to the Father as sons and daughters, as servants, as friends. I want to tell you that one doesn't replace the other. Just we get to do those all at one time in the kingdom. You say, well, I don't understand that. I don't quit really either. But I know that I can be in total obedience to God as a servant. And then you say, son, good job. And then you say, you're my friend. All in one sentence. But I'm telling you that this place of like, I'm going to be real careful here because I don't want to. But I'm telling you, like, the friendship with God when it comes to harvest, where you're like, God, I'll do it because I think it's a good idea, is not going to cut it. It's the lordship piece. He's saying, I'm the Lord of the harvest. He's saying, I need you to relate, understand that we have mission together. We have place that I'm calling you to, and you're going to have to lose your life in some places to go gain the world. It's going to require something of you. I'm about to show you some clips of some videos. And you're going to go, what in the world are we watching? It's going to be muffled voices. Why? Because it's underground church in Iran. It's the fastest growing church in the world. Iran is the fastest growing. I can't show you the whole video, but there's a clip where he says, I just want you to know Islam in Iran is dead. The mosques are empty. They're completely empty. And they're saying we've lost a whole generation. Why? Because God is moving there. And I'm going to show you some clips today about harvest. Why? First, to inspire you just like I did. But also to challenge everything in you for the lordship of Christ. There's a part I'm not going to show, but they say the women are ready to give their bodies for this message. What I mean by that, like, because when they're caught, they do terrible things to them. And they like just see it as a living sacrifice to their God. What am I talking about? Commitment. Lordship. Why are they seeing harvest? Because they've embraced something of lordship. And he's going to make a little statement about the church in the West. I just want it to sink in a little. Okay? Now the other two clips are pure fire. This one is a kick in the teeth. Okay? Did I warn you? Okay, Deb, can you play that first clip? What am I saying? I'm showing you that because I want you to understand that they have embraced a piece of lordship that is required in harvest. Now let me tell you what I'm not saying. A weird fear that if we don't do it, God's mad. Or some weird law that we have to do it to be in His pleasure. We're in His pleasure. The result of being in His pleasure is harvest. I'm telling you. It's your heart so transformed by hearing God's heart for people that all of a sudden you can't help but do it. But there's a laying down of your life. Well, it got heavy in here. Why? Because we can't talk about the Lord of the harvest and not talk about lordship. He's saying, I have mission and purpose and destiny for all of you, but there will be things that cost you. Like we sang about this morning, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. So some of you, it may take your time. Some of you, it just may take some selfishness aside and say, I gotta go for it with this person. Some of you, it may just lay down your own plan completely. Like, I'm going to lay that plan down for the plan of God. But I'm going to tell you, most of your plan is interweaved with the harvest of the kingdom of God. Quiet in here, it's okay. I knew it would be. I'm going to show you some things today to inspire you that God is about the harvest. I'm going to read you scriptures today that now are alive here. And it's not just happening in Iran. It's happening in our churches, and it's happening in the West. But there's a commitment level in the persecuted church that I honor at the highest level. Spirit of martyrdom that says, I'll give my life for this. Are you ready to lay your life down for the harvest? Say, oh, that usually tell me you're not as hard. Are you ready to lay your life down for the harvest? Why? Because we can't get on our knees and pray for our nation and say it's so harassed and helpless, and then the answer is harvest. The only answer is transformative gospel. It's the only answer. It's not convincing people. It's not telling them your belief system. It's not saying, here's my guy, there's your guy, what do we do about this? It's like, it's the gospel. It's the gospel of heaven. It's a power gospel. It's not just the gospel of salvation. It's the gospel of signs and wonders. And I want to tell you that there's a place of believing that God is asking us to get to about the harvest that we're not there. Is that fair? If we were there, we would be crying in church by all the awesome things that God is doing. And we are. We're seeing it. I don't want to put an indictment like we're not seeing anything, but I'm telling you, the gift of vision is oftentimes seeing where we're not living yet. And that's where we're going. So just, here's three beliefs to help you in the harvest. Because I want to encourage you. I want you to embrace these beliefs today. When you walk out of here, it will cause you to be a laborer in the kingdom. It will cause you to walk out of here and say, I can do it because Jesus is doing it because He's the Lord of the harvest. Remember, the Lord always has the bigger piece. He's seen the big picture. He's already declared it. It's already won. It's already done. So number one, He will prove Himself. I want you to walk away with this belief today that He will prove Himself to the people that you're seeing and your heart is burning for. He will prove Himself to them. So if you say, hey, we serve a good God, He will prove His goodness. If you say, we serve a God who's loving and kind, He will prove that over and over to people. If you don't believe, I mean, if you don't think He'll prove it, then you're just carrying theory. And theory has never changed the world. And He's saying, no, I need you to go beyond theory today. I need it. And man, I look around this room and I see your lives. And I just say, your lives are enough. Tell your story. Tell your life. People don't want to hear theory. They want to hear your story. He will prove it. And I'm going to just quote this because I don't have time, but promise you, it's in there. In John 11, Lazarus has died. And that's a down moment for the group of disciples. He's their friend. Sometimes we look at the Bible story like, oh, you know, God was setting things up. He was their friend. And he died. And Martha comes to Jesus and she's totally distraught, right? And she said, Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Which was a true statement. It was fact, actually. She didn't realize truth was standing right in front of her. And he said to her, I'm going to prove to you that I am life. I'm going to raise Him from the dead. Here, let me just read it. I want you to believe me. John 11. We'll do it quickly. Nah, I want my Bible. It says, your brother will rise again in verse 23. And then Martha goes on, she says, Martha answered, I know He will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. What I want to show you here is that Martha was literally having faith, but not having faith in the moment. God, I know that one day we're all going to raise up. I know that one day you're going to return and everyone's going to heaven that's believed in you. I know that one day, so she has a pretty good theology, but it's not matching the moment. Your brother will rise again. Oh, I know that. Let me put it in context of harvest. I'm going to win the world. And we all say one day. He needs a generation. He needs a generation, says in our generation. In our generation. And if you think I'm stupid right now, or Pollyanna thinking, or ridiculous, I want to tell you, I'm just living at a faith level that's different than yours. And I know that just got super real, but I'm tired of people telling me that's not going to happen. God is looking for a generation who will believe it. And here's the thing. I may not completely see it all, but I'll send something so fiery to him, and he'll send something so fiery to him. What am I saying? God is looking for a belief system. And Martha had a belief system that, yeah, God, I know you're good. And I know you'll make this right. And he's like, I'm here to do something. And then it's interesting, he asked for Mary. He just needed someone to just be real with. And they wept together. I think harvest is sometimes going to just take some weeping with God. And realizing it's now. It's time. It's got to happen. If this week didn't tell you that, I just want to encourage you, let it. It's time for harvest. It's time for worldwide harvest. And God is looking for people who he's fully capable of displaying his glory. And then the story goes on, right? And it says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. This is in verse 38. I'm just going to read it. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for it has been there for 4 days. Now, this is where I think God is wanting to prove himself, and our little understanding will get in the way. 15 verses later, he said, your brother will raise again. He shows up to the tomb, says to roll the stone away, and she says, God, it's going to stink. Why? She's not embracing yet the reality of what's happening. She's not understanding yet that God's about to do everything. He's the resurrection and the life. He's about to do it, and she's still caught up on small things that are hindering the process. And I want to tell you that God will prove himself. And he said, hey, don't worry about the smell. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, in all his grave clothes, comes walking out. And I think Martha at that moment said, oh, he will prove himself. He's asking us to live and believe that he will prove himself in the harvest. Deb, you ready? This is a proof that Jesus is in pursuit of people. Yes! Just to make sure you caught it, Jesus walked in the room. He proved himself. Say, God, if you're real, prove yourself. See, we have to believe we serve a God who will prove himself, who will walk into the room of the people that are in our lives. We have to believe that. We have to embrace it, that he is the Lord of the harvest, remember? He's got this. He knows exactly what people need, but he's also willing to do beyond what we think he will do for it. That's just the beginning where we're headed. The next one going to blow your mind. Number two. He's gone before us. We have to believe that he's gone before us. And in the video, they actually make a statement. We also know that he's run faster than us. He's actually gone after the ones that we don't know yet. We have to believe he's gone before us. And the scripture I'd just like to remind you is in Acts 10. If you know anything about Acts at all, you know that this is Peter getting the vision of everything lowered down in front of him. God says, don't call what I call clean, unclean. He's not just talking about food there. He's talking about people. He's talking about most of you and I, if you're not Jewish in this room. He's saying, I call them clean. It comes down, it lays before him. But what we don't know is that God has been going before Peter. And days before the vision, an angel appears. I'm going to read it. I'm just going to read it to you. I love it. Cornelius sums it up real quick to a man named Cornelius. This is in Acts 10, 30. And I will warn you, this is one of my very favorite scriptures in all the Bible. I warn you because I give myself full permission to go here as much as I want, as many weeks in a row as I go. Cornelius answered 4 days ago. Says four of mine. Come on, NIV, get it right. We'll say four because that's my Bible. What am I saying? He went ahead. Peter's having this vision, but God's already doing something. And I think that sometimes what the enemy wants to do is put all this false responsibility on us that, Steve, you got to figure this out. You got to have a strategy. You got to have a plan. And then you got to unfold it perfectly or this isn't going to happen. I just want to tell you, Peter doesn't do perfect. He even messes it up in the next few chapters. But God still does it. Why? Because we're all sitting here as Gentiles. We have to understand God is going before us. And so 3 or 4 days, whatever, clearly it's something in the Greek going on there. It says that God is working. 6 times, it says in that story, an angel came. 6 times. We've made angels something so weird that only show up in worship, which is good, they do. But we have to understand there's harvesting angels. And if you don't believe me, read Revelation. There's one with a sickle so sharp that he can do like this in the world and everyone comes to the Lord. In Revelation 15, it says it's the sharp sickle. And there's angels waiting. I think they're waiting for belief. I think they're waiting for your belief that, wait, God will go before me. Everyone I'm about to talk to, everyone I'm going to love on, my coworkers, my family, God is going before me. And you say, well, I haven't seen it yet. Believe higher. Believe He will. Because Cornelius says this. He says, I was at my house praying at that hour and 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly a man in shining clothes, which later on Peter identifies as an angel, stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He's a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So he tells an unbelieving Gentile where the key to his salvation is. Through an angel, and fully expects him to believe it. Listen, sometimes we have to understand that the unbelievers sometimes have more belief in the things that we've gotten disappointed in and forgotten to believe in. Like, well, I prayed for angels and they didn't come. Keep praying. Keep praying for God to go before us. And listen to what Cornelius says. This is when it gets fiery. He says, so I sent for you immediately or I obeyed. And it was good of you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. What's the last thing that Peter heard before they show up in Joppa? Don't call what I call clean, unclean. Why? Peter's breaking all the rules already being in the house. All religiosity, all religious customs, Judaistic customs, he's breaking by stepping in that Gentile house. And God's already said, I call him clean. Why? He went before him. Because he wouldn't have done it. The truth is, Peter had some racism problems. He did. He didn't like Gentiles because he didn't know how to relate to them. He was just afraid that if they come, then we get less. And God's saying, I got enough for all. And most of the time, racism is just, or our shortcomings are based in fear because we can't see God big enough to meet the question that we have going on in our heart. And God is trying to show us in this. He's like, you got to believe I'll go before you. I'll even get the ones you're not talking to yet. I'll get the ones and I will show up. Listen, there's a man of white showing up all over the Arabic nations right now. His name is Jesus. He's walking in their tents. He's telling them the truth. And because the mosques are empty, they're saying, tell us more. He's going before us. Now let me give you more faith. He's going before us in America. He's going before, he's showing people the emptiness of their hearts. He's showing them, hey, you can't have hope in a system. Can't have hope in a man. Can't have hope in an economy. Why? Because it all goes like this. He's showing them their hearts. We have to see the good in everything. We have to see harvest in it. Got quiet then. We got to believe that He's supernatural. We got to believe that we're supernatural. We got to believe our belief system is supernatural. I find that most Christians' faith is stocked up in the natural. And faith is supernatural. Faith is ready to move mountains. And we're trying to figure out a plan to buy bulldozers in the natural. No, we're trying to figure out how to do it when God said, you don't have to figure it out because that won't ever happen. Harvest is impossible without the supernatural. Harvest is impossible for us to muster up all of our strength, even if all of you gave all of your lives and said, we'll go in all and give everything. If we didn't have the supernatural, we would fall flat on our faces. Why? I'm taking the pressure off. I'm putting some pressure on heaven. I'm going to ask for, if some of you think that's unreasonable, I'm asking for unreasonable things that they wrote about in the Bible. Like people raising from the dead. And nations being won. And whole continents having a man come in a dream and say, come over here. Because they didn't know where to go. If you actually look, they missed it three times. Paul. But then he had a dream. He said, come over here. Why? God's going before us. But let me just... Can I just read you what Peter decided to say? He preached. This is in 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. And how He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. He says, we are all witnesses of everything He did in the country and that the Jews and of the Jews and in Jerusalem, they killed Him by hanging Him on a tree, but God raised Him from the dead on the third day and caused Him to be seen. He is not seen by all people, but by witnesses who God had already chosen. By us who ate and drank with Him after He rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people of and testify that He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testified about Him, that everyone who believes in Him and receives forgiveness of sins through His name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. I want to remind you that the message of good news we're carrying is powerful and supernatural. And while they were, Peter, who didn't even know what he was doing, he was even fearful. It says later, he was speaking it, the Holy Spirit anointed it with power, and they all believed the message. Why? Because the message that they have on the inside of you is supernatural. It's supernatural. And I think what happens is we get conditioned into understanding we're witnessing or we're telling, and we forget that, wait a minute, the message I'm carrying is supernatural. So I want to remind you, we're going to walk away the belief today that He's gone before us. I'm going to show you a message of a story of a female who's now probably the main leader of the church in Iran. Let that one soak in. And I want to show you that God went before any person. Any person. Why? Because He's the Lord of the harvest. And I want to remind you that even if you missed an opportunity, like I missed that one, what if they're going to hell? God has gone before you. He's going after people. So Deb, you ready to play that third clip? Oh, pause it real quick. Sorry. This is very intense. So I just want to warn you. Like, she's going to talk about some things that are very intense in here. And if you have just something that stirs up that's painful in you, I'm going to tell you, He's supernatural and He's going to meet you here today. So she's telling this story and it brings up trauma and you just believe that, wait, Jesus has gone before me and brought me here to get healed today. Okay? Because this is super intense. There's your warning. It's your little box. It says very intense. Okay? There's another piece of that clip where she goes to her father's funeral and forgives the man. That's transformation. Why do I show you that? When I was watching it, I realized You're the Lord of the harvest, God. You have gone before us. You're pursuing Your people. Even the ones we haven't seen yet, He's pursuing. Third thing I want you to walk away with today, I have more clips. Actually, I'm going to do this. If anyone in here is feeling any trauma right now, I just welcome the Holy Spirit to come and heal you. If anything in that story stirred up something, I want to tell you that it's not to be stirred up today, it's to be healed. So any form of sexual abuse, any suicidal attempts, anything that the enemy has declared over this body or people here today, we just declare wholeness. Thank you, Jesus, for the transforming word today, God. In Jesus' name. This one I'm going to do quickly. We'll be done. I promise at 12:30. It says, our enemy, I want you to walk away with this belief that our enemies are terrified of all the Lord has promised and has already fulfilled. They're terrified of it. And I think that sometimes we look in the natural, we get so caught up, because why? In the natural, it's easy to see what the enemy is doing. It's just because that's his realm. He's only got one realm. It's this realm. God's got these other realms that he has said, I am now going to declare over principalities and powers that the enemy is trying to build up. God's saying, no, I rule those now. And we have to understand the enemy is terrified of God's promises. Why am I bringing that up? Because if we don't believe that, we will live in an up and down belief system that God wants to do it. We have to understand that. And I've been reading through Joshua, and I was just reading about the spies that came to Rahab's. And it's really an amazing story. You realize that she's in the lineage of Jesus, the spy. And I mean, the spies go to Rahab's house, and one little name, there in Matthew 1, that she is in the lineage of Jesus, that the Christ came out of her house, a prostitute's house, just so we're clear. It says the spies, they go in there, it's a good place to hide. They come to her and they explain what's going on, and she goes, oh, we've heard about you. She said, let me just read it. It's so staggering what she says in Joshua 2. You can turn to Joshua 2. I'm going to read 1 out of 2 and 1 out of 3. In 9, she says this, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Listen, that's what the enemy is doing right now with you. He's literally melting in fear that you won't believe the promises of God. You won't believe harvest. He wants you to believe CNN, Fox News. He wants you to believe those. He wants you to get all messed up in that, caught up in that. But God's saying, I got promises that the enemy literally is shaking in their boots. They're literally sitting there shaking. And she says, we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. And when you came out of Egypt and what you did to Shinar and Og and the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan whom you completely destroyed. We have heard of it. Our hearts melted and everyone's courage fell because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven, above, and on the earth below. No one witnessed to her. The message of who God was had gotten out to the Canaanites. Listen, if we just take that spiritually now, and because Corinthians says everything in the Old Testament is to teach us what the enemy is doing in the New Testament. The enemy has heard the report of God in your life. He's heard the report of God for our region, for our town, for our community of believers. He's heard it for your family. He's heard it for your children and your children's children. He's heard of it, and he's sitting there terrified. And the spies didn't even know it. They literally go back and say, hey, they've heard of what God's doing, and their hearts are melting in fear. Their hearts are melting with fear. The enemies, the principalities and powers that are trying to resist the plan of God, resist harvest, are melting in fear of the promises of God in your life. Why am I saying this? Because I want you to walk out of here realizing that the promises of God have already been declared to our enemy and they're afraid of them. If you don't believe that, harvest just becomes a pipe dream to you. Billions of souls coming into the kingdom sounds impossible because you don't know how logistically it would happen. When the enemy is literally already quaking, I can feel him. He's afraid of me saying it right now. So what do we do? Joshua 3:5 says this. It says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. I just want to tell you, the consecration I believe the Lord is asking for is for more belief. A consecrating of the heart, which says, I cut all that junk off that's going against the promises, against that you're for us, against that you will show up and prove yourself, against those things. I need you to consecrate your heart today and say, God is about to show up and do amazing things among us. I'm going to ask you to stand up today. You know, sometimes we do altar calls like, who will go for me? Like in Isaiah, you know, like who's ready to commit to the harvest? And I was just talking with the Lord about it. He was like, really, the truth is, I've already said the mission. And I've already said who I'm using. It's you. So the reason I have you all stand up today is you really, your choice will be what you believe. Harvest is your destiny. Being a harvester, it's going to be like, look what God has done. And back to the first clip. We're going to have stories. You're going to have stories. We're all going to have stories about what God has done. We're going to have stories. You already have them. It's your lives. It's your lives. You already have stories. Tell them your story. I want to encourage you today. God's not blind to what's going on. He's in charge of it. And He said, what do I do with harassed and helpless nations and peoples and the world? I cry out for laborers to do the harvest. What's the answer for where we're at? Harvest. So I'm just going to ask you, just if you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to put your hands out. Because it's not like, I think I'll do harvest. I think that's the mission. I think you're actually giving your belief system today and say, I'm going to believe for bigger. I'm going to believe you're going to show up, God. I'm going to believe you're going to prove yourself. So I tried that. It didn't work. I'm telling you, believe again. So here we are, God, in a crazy day, in a crazy week, and we say, we lock into your mission. And we choose to co-mission with you. And we say, would you help? God, we believe, but help our unbelief. Help our belief system rise up and just say, you're going to show up, God. You're going to go before us. You're going to prove yourself. Our enemy's already afraid of what you've promised, God. Help us believe that to such a degree today that this week we see miracles, God. This week we see people coming to you. This week we've been praying for, call us and say, I don't know why, I just need to call you. This week, God, come on, just believe for a minute for someone or a people group or something big. Believe for something non-political for a moment this week. Let's believe for something in people's lives. Go before us, God. Go before us. Send your angels. Send your armies ready to war on our behalf, God. Go before us, God. Lord, go and rescue people like the young lady on the video. God, and then when you do it, heal them, transform them, and make them leaders of nations, God. Lord, go and walk on broken tiles in front of people so they know God's standing before me, God. God, we ask for these things not to be good stories, but we ask them to raise our faith up. That you want to do it in our day, in our time, in our nation, in our church, in our family, in our lives, God. So I just bless you now as harvesters. I bless you as His children. I bless you with comfort this week. I bless you with boldness. I bless you with everything you need this week to come out of this place and say, God, you are good and your love endures forever. So we just bless you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to ask the deacons to go ahead and come up, and if y'all can help me by scooting the tables out of the way a little bit while the altar team makes their way. If you need prayer for anything at all today, we've got the altar team up here, and I know we hit on it a little bit, but if today is your day to learn about Jesus Christ and receive salvation, they're up here and ready to talk to you and pray for you over that. Anybody who's on Healing Rooms team or altar team or pastoral staff, just if we have lots up here, just be ready to jump up and help out. If you're new with us, our senior pastors, Tim and Elizabeth Darnell, are going to be straight out those back doors right there down the center. We would love to get to know you and just chat with you, and you can ask any questions about our house or our services. So otherwise, be blessed. Thank you for being here this morning.